If you've looked at our missions board, you'll see Lucas and Tara is our missionary representative to Europe. Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. And so they go a lot of places. At dinner last night, he told me that he was gone 50 out of the 52 weeks last year ministering. And so that's quite a sacrifice. Sometimes his family was with him, oftentimes not. So Lucas, on behalf of our church, and I know from Grace International, thank you for being willing to do that in order to spread the gospel around the world. But also, thank you for coming here to Battleground. And we're not as exotic as Europe or Africa or the Middle East, but, you know, we're here. Amen? Yay, Battleground. And so we're glad you're with us. Come and give us a report, but also preach a message for us, all right? Let's welcome Lucas today.
Well, good morning, everybody. How good it is to be in Washington, and we're finally having a sunny day. And I might get a view of the mountains while I'm here. Every time I'm up in the Northwest, I like to see Mount Rainier, I like to see Mount St. Helens, and I like to see Mount Hood. And if I don't see them today, I'll at least see it on the plane when I'm above the clouds. And it's really weird seeing, I think it's four of them you can see at one time. That when you fly. But it's good to be up here. I love Washington. It's where I was born. And I was born in Yakima, Washington. And so I know good things come from the state of Washington. Come on. Well, I'm so excited to be here this morning. I have a great word to share. In Genesis chapter 3, this is a story we know very well. But I want to focus on a part of it. So here's Eve. And the serpent, who we know as the devil, is speaking to Eve. Now, do you mind putting up the picture, the very first picture on the PowerPoint that we have of my wife and I? All right. So here's Satan talking to Eve, and right next to Eve is who? Adam. Now, Adam is letting the devil talk to his wife. And the devil is challenging who she is. He's challenging her identity and challenging who God is and challenging her destiny. And here's Adam sitting next to her, and he does absolutely nothing about it. It says that he was quiet. Okay, now this is a picture of my wife. This year we'll be married 17 years. That's a big praise God right there. And I just have, yeah, I have the best woman I could ever be with. She's my absolute best friend, and she's the love of my life. Now, the truth is, I'm a pretty cool guy, but it's because of Jesus I got her. I don't even question that, because a guy like me, well, first of all, it took me a year and a half to ask her out. I was shy. I wasn't, you know, going for it and everything. And I just knew it was a God thing. I wouldn't be okay if the devil spoke to my wife. Y'all with me on this? In fact, I wouldn't be okay with just any old guy walking up to my wife and saying, hey, I know your destiny, I know your plan, and this is what you need to do. Now, I'd love to say I'd be all spiritual and everything, but I might meet him with one of these. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But here's Adam, and he's quiet. He lost his voice. And so he's sitting there, he's letting the devil talk, and then his wife turns to him, gives him the fruit, and he eats without even putting up a fight. Now, the interesting part here in the book of Genesis is it doesn't tell us why Adam is at this point in his life. But I've been in ministry for 25 years. I've sat in a lot of counseling sessions. And one thing I can tell you, sitting with couples all the time, is when one of the partners goes quiet, there's something quite serious going on. Now, I don't know what's going on with Adam because it doesn't say, and I'm not going to speculate. But the one thing I do know is he was okay with the enemy speaking to his wife. Which tells me, in one sense, he had to be pretty defeated. And so here he is, and he loses his voice. Now I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Genesis is a book of beginnings. This is a book that talks about the beginning of mankind, but the book of Acts is the beginning of the church. So the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1, it said, "And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as a fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled," not some, not a few, "they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak." The very first gift that God gives the New Testament church is a voice. Now, it's interesting here because God knows everything about us, right? God loves us so much. We're created for fellowship and relationship with Him, and He knows our journey. He knows everything about our lives, and He doesn't forget anything. And so when God is thinking here in the book of Acts and thinking, what does the church need to take the next step? He remembers Adam in the garden as the enemy is talking to his wife, challenging the destiny, purpose, and all those things, loses his voice. He remembers, you know what? I know that folks can get in a tough place. So the first gift I'm going to give the church is a voice. It's interesting because when you read in Genesis chapter 4, we read the story of Cain and Abel. Y'all know that story? And the brothers, you know, one of them kills the other. And it says that his countenance falls. Y'all with me? If you read in Acts chapter 3, it says that Peter and John were going to the temple. Y'all remember this story? And the man's begging, and Peter says to him, "Look at us." And he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." In Genesis chapter 4, his countenance dropped. He kills his brother. In Acts chapter 3, the countenance of Peter is changed, and he walks in the healing gift. If you continue reading from Genesis and compare it to Acts, you begin to realize that God is going to the weaknesses in the book of Genesis, the things that were challenges, and he's solving them in the book of Acts. Now, this morning, as we're talking about this, what I want you to know is we're talking about spiritual gifts this morning. I believe that spiritual gifts are very important to the body of Christ. I believe that every person in this room is important to God. I believe that every person in this room, God not only has a plan for, but you are very central to his heart and what he wants to do. And you're like saying, "Well, I live in Battleground, Washington. What can I do?" Well, I can tell you something. You can do a lot. And you are very much at the center of God's heart and his will for this area to be touched. Here, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, and I've been relating from Genesis and Acts, the interesting we see is the word for gifting in the New Testament is the word charismata. How many of you have heard that word before? Okay. Now, the root of that word is the word charis. How many have heard that word before? It's actually what we named our ministry for. And anybody know what it means in English? Grace. Charis is the word for grace. Charismata is the word for gifting. What does grace mean? Okay, most people give that as the definition, and that is partly right in what you're saying. But the actual definition of grace is God gives you the strength to overcome your weakness. That's the power of grace. Y'all with me? Okay. Now, gifting is something interesting because I see a lot of people that come to me in services and they're like, "Lucas, we see all these miracles, we see all this fun stuff that you get to do, and we see the Spirit of God move. How can I do it myself?" How many have ever asked God for something and you're like, "I don't exactly know how it works"? Anybody in this room? All right. I'm going to show something that's a little bit different. So the word charismata means gifting. Now, to understand that, you have to understand the Greek culture that it was written from. So in the Greek culture, gifting was very different than how we as Americans think today. Now, when I think of gifting and stuff, how many enjoy presents at the table? you know, and at Christmas. Isn't that wonderful? You know, if you ask me to wrap a gift, well, my wife will rewrap it because I'm not very good at it. So I've gotten into that thing where you can get the bag and then throw the tissue paper, you know, and that's a fantastic thing. And then they have this even better thing. You can just get this card, a gift card, and put it in an envelope and just sign it. That's brilliant. Whoever thought of that needs a raise. You know what I mean? That's how we think of gifting. And then we think, okay, here's your gift. Now go and unwrap it. But that's not how the Greek or the Hebrew people gave gifts. That was not the way their culture worked. How their culture worked was they would have a party or a gathering like we are here this morning. The host of the party would then at one point give a speech. And it was known that at that speech, there would be something special that would happen. So during that time, the person who was leading the party would stand up and he would call one person out in front of everybody. And he would say this. For example, Pastor Ed. I'll use him as an example. He would say, Pastor Ed, I give to you or I bestow to you. And then he would say what he is known for. If it was his intellect, if it was for something that he was smart in, if it was his good looks, if it was financial advice, if it, whatever he is known for in the community, he would stand up and say, I bestow upon you. And then he would say that, for example, intellect. When he did that, now from that point forward in the community, that person would be known, Pastor Ed would be known for that gifting. So the person gave something that they were known for. They gave something of themselves. Now let's take this to Father God. Father God, when he is giving us gifts, is giving us a literal piece of himself. So, for example, let's say y'all know spiritual gifts. We have healing, we have miracles, we have prophecy, we have helps, mercy, giving, administration, teaching. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Out of 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. So when God gives a gift, we're literally carrying a piece of Father with us. This is important to understand because, you know, the scripture says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. See, I don't have to worry about my gift working because it's God. It's the Father, and he works. Y'all with me? I get people who ask me, how do you pray for people and how do they get healed? Is it this special thing on your life? I said, no, it's God. It literally is because the gift is God. Y'all with this? The important part of this is then I don't have to worry if God's going to heal or if God's going to do or that kind of thing because I know that he is the healer. Now, in gifting, the great thing is this. There's purpose to gifting. And I show the thing, the example of the Old Testament and New because God looks at your life. He looks at the things that you are going through, and he's looking at what you need. This is how he gives gifts. So how many of you have a dream in your life? How many of you want to do some great and mighty things? Okay? How many of you are hitting a wall right now and it just seems like you cannot break through that spot? Okay, this is the interesting thing. So grace is the strength to overcome weakness, right? Gifting, defined, Paul says that your gifting makes a way for you. Why? Because it is God going before you. So gifting is so important to us as Christians, as is grace, because that not only does his grace help us overcome what we're weak in, but he gives gifting to make a way. In other words, he provides destiny and future where it seems impossible. Let me put it in a different way. How many of you have this great plan for the future, but it is so many things, it's like you're juggling many hats? You know what? God has a wonderful gift. It's called administration. Can you imagine of having God's heart on how to do multiple things at once? Wouldn't that just be brilliant? How many of you could say, man, that just needs to come into the workplace right now? You know what I mean? You can give that one to my boss, too. Or this. How many of you are dealing with difficult people? Come on. And not just family members. You with me? He gives the gift of mercy. Y'all with this? Gifts are given with a purpose. God, when he looks at you and he looks at the things you're going through, it's his desire to help you on your journey. That's why he gives gifts to you. So here's the interesting part. When you study gifting, gifting shows up when you need it. So now let's go to the question again. Where are you in your life right now? How many are in a place where you really want to move forward, but everything you try is not exactly working? Y'all with this? Then guess what? It's time for a spiritual gift to come in your life. That spiritual gift helps make a way for you where in the natural it could not happen. And that's how spiritual gift goes. And the cool thing is, I'll use you as an example, sir. Father God looks at you, he knows your situation, and then he literally goes, I bestow upon you, and then he says the thing that you need. And that's literally as easy as a gift comes. Some people are waiting for the heavens to open. They're waiting for, you know, God to blow trumpets and literally walk in the room and say, Brother Ed, I just want you to receive the gift of healing. And now you're going to... And people want to make things really, really... Y'all know what I'm saying? And sometimes we make God have to, like, jump 50-foot fences to move in our life. But the truth is, I'm a dad. How many of you are parents in this room? Two teenage daughters. My oldest, Scarlett. Man, I love her to pieces. She's so brilliant. I just am so excited about who she's going to be. I look at my daughter, Isabella. She's 14, and she's just starting to figure out how to be a teenager. And then I got little Magnus, who's 6 months old. And I look at him, and my heart just melts. And I would do anything for my kids. And my job as a father is to gird, to guide, and to guard them. His job as a father is to do the same thing in us. That's why he's a good father. He's not up on the throne with a big stick waiting to, you did something wrong today. Instead, he's on the throne going, how can I help my child today? How can I help my son and daughter? And the scripture says when we ask, what happens? It's not any harder than that. This morning, as we're together in this spot, when I was praying for the service this morning, this is what the Lord was speaking to me, especially last night in the night. I was actually so excited. I didn't fall asleep till about 3 this morning. I was so excited about the service this morning. And the Lord kept speaking this to me. He said, remind them how important they are to me. Because some of them feel that they don't deserve things. And they're like, it's okay, someone else. Because they've had this thing of being passed over many times, or everything else is so important in life that sometimes we're just dry and we're empty. And we get to this place of, well, maybe it's not going to happen for me. But you want to know something? That's the enemy challenging your destiny, your purpose, and who you are. He's just not coming in the form of a serpent. He's playing in your mind. And you know what? The very first gift that God gave was a voice. That day, over 2,000 people got saved. It was the birth of the church. You know, on the gift of speaking in tongues, I believe it's a really important gift. And I understand why the enemy fights it so much. Because he's afraid when we speak in tongues, we're using the voice that God's given us. And that scares him. Because when God speaks, what happens? And the enemy is afraid because when you use the voice that he gave you, he knows what can happen. My father used to say this to me all the time. He used to say, Lucas, make sure you spend about 15 minutes a day just praying in the Spirit. He said, because when you're faced with the challenges of life and you begin to pray in your prayer language, it will quiet everything around you because it commands that every voice has no power except for God's. I want to pray for you this morning because I believe here in the church, I believe that God wants to do some things. I believe that God wants to move in your life. And you say, very honestly, I'm not going to have you bow your head, close your eyes, that kind of stuff. We're just having a real conversation this morning. You say, Lucas, man, I need God to move in my life right now. I need God to just do some things. I need him to step up. I need help. I don't know how to deal with this situation. It could be family. It could be work. It could be your spouse. It could be your dog, whatever. Or it could be that life isn't exactly working the way you thought, but you say, I need God in my life right now, and I need these gifts that you're talking about. If that's you, would you be so bold to just lift your hand? Come on, that's real. Now keep them up for a second, and I want you to watch this. Everybody look around. This is the things we don't do during altar calls, right? Everybody look around. You see all the hands that are lifted? That means that as a church, we're going through something together. This is the strength of a church. Y'all with me? Because we stand together through the journey. So as you put your hands back up if you're praying. Now you see someone with a hand lifted. I want you to put your hand over to them. Maybe put it on their shoulder and just begin to pray for them. Pray for them as if you would have someone pray for you. How you would want to be prayed for right now, pray for them. And say, God, you know what they need. You know what needs to happen in their life. God, would you pour out in this way right now? Would you move by your Holy Spirit and give that gift, that grace? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that this is the way of breakthrough. Your plan is for us to succeed. Your plan is for us to have a future and a hope and to prosper and have a life abundantly. And so, Lord, I thank you because that's your will, that that is what you desire in our life. And we speak right now and we use our voice. And enemy, you are not allowed to speak anymore. You are not allowed to be in my thought life. You are not allowed to be used by other people or any other thing because I am going to only listen to the voice of God right now in my life. And I thank you, Lord, for moving in that way right now in the congregation. I thank you, Lord, that you're providing gifts to help them, whether it's administration or the gift of helps or mercy or giving or a gift of faith or the gift of miracles or the gift of healing. I thank you, Lord, that you're depositing gifts in the house right now. I thank you that you're not only depositing them, but they're going to come forth and they're going to be known. Just as that was taught about gifting, that they would be forever now known to have that in their life. I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you felt the presence of God here this morning? There is no substitute for spending time with God. And the way you know you're spending time with God is his presence. When you sense God's presence, that's him being active in your life. So you didn't need a preacher to go put his hands on you and say, okay, this is what you get. Because his presence is better than any old preacher. Y'all with me? How many got something this morning? Amen. I want to encourage you at the end of service, we have a table out there. I have some stuff out there to talk on spiritual gifts. I have a workbook that speaks about it. You can pick it up out at the thing, and we have a CD teaching series. I'd love to shake your hand and everything. But before I hand over service to Pastor, you're here this morning, you've heard the message. and you say, Lucas, I don't know if I died today if I would go to heaven. I don't know that I know I have a relationship with Jesus. If you say to me right now, you say, I know about God, but I don't literally have him in my life, but you want him. And you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you. If that's you this morning, you say, Lucas, I want to give my life to Jesus. Would you just lift your hand? I want to pray for you. I pray for you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Would all of us pray this together? Say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me for the things I've done. Cleanse me from my past. I believe that you died on the cross for me. You gave your life for me. And now, Jesus, I give my life to you. And I receive you as the Lord of my life. In your precious name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's give glory to Jesus this morning. Yeah, come on. There were a couple of you that raised your hands there. I want you to know this is a great church. Pastor and the staff are available to talk. I'm available to talk with you after service. We'd love to shake your hand and just welcome you into the family. God bless you. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Thank you, Lucas. Could we stand together this morning? Appreciate the good message, Lucas. Encouraging word. And I'd like us to, if you can this morning, I'd like us to give an offering for Lucas's work. And he didn't mention it. He didn't have time this morning. Can I mention about Iran, Lucas? Lucas has been able to help facilitate the starting of two churches in Iran. And they're underground churches. They obviously legally can't be out in the open. And that's exciting to me. How many know that is a mission field? Amen? And so I'm believing the Lord with them for Iran. It's all in the news all the time. But to just think of that. And then they are looking at planting a church in Dubai. The Middle East is amazing what God can do there. And yet the persecution is going on. So your offering will help with that. So if you're able to give an offering, see Stacy at the information table. Give it to her. She has an offering receptacle, and everything you give will go to Lucas. If you make a check out, make it out to the church, and then we'll give him one check. But if you can give whatever you have available, and if you didn't come prepared to do that today, you certainly can give it later and just mark it for Lucas, and we'll see that it gets to them. But I appreciate the work they're doing around the world, but I appreciate also his heart for the local church. Amen? He was in our church at Roseburg last Sunday, and then Sutherland, our church there on Wednesday, and then here, and then he flies home. So let's thank Lucas again for coming our way. Amen? Thank you. Amen. So we're going to let you go to the table, all right? And your book table, not the donut table, but the book table, all right? Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for Lucas's message, and thank you for our voice. Thank you for the gifts that you give to us. What a beautiful description and explanation of how the gifts of the Spirit are distributed to the church. And I pray that we would take that and use it and say, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. So now as we dismiss, Lord, we thank you for those that have made their way to the house of God this morning. We pray for second service as folks are coming in for that service. Pray that you just bless this weekend. And Lord, we look forward to being together again on Wednesday night at our prayer service and worship time if people are able to come. And then next Sunday as we celebrate communion together on the first Sunday of June. We just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. You're dismissed. And again, if you can give an offering to Lucas's ministry, see Stacy, just give it to her or give it to myself or someone. We'll see that they get it. God bless you. Thanks for coming this morning. God bless you.